Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I am Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what is going on in our own lives. I had a quiet weekend at home working furiously on my taxes and my unofficial guide to Disneyland book, which is also due today on tax day. So convenient. Carly, how have you been?
I have been great. Laid low a little bit. I did. My husband and I did get new Carowinds season passes, so we did pop into there for a bit because the weather has been lovely. Yes. But I'm getting ready because tomorrow I am embarking on a almost 3-week journey that's going to have me go coast to coast and back to coast. So I'm starting Walt Disney World. Then I'm going to Disneyland for Pixar Fest and Universal Studios Hollywood, and then back to Disney World.
Wow.
For a lot of it's, you know, everything happens at the same time. That's life. So I'm doing a lot of fun projects, but in my free time at Disney World this coming weekend, I am forcing myself to revisit places that I haven't visited in a while.
Oh.
That's like the whole theme that I've created for myself. I'm going to do some stories about it too. Okay. But like, hotels, restaurants that I haven't been in some like 10 years.
Okay, give an example of one that you're kind of maybe not looking forward. Like, what is something that you've been putting off going back to for an awful long time that you're
going to be try? Honest, Saratoga Springs. My last experience there was pre-reno. It was a little bit smelly, you know, but they were redone. So I want to go back and check it out. I have to, you know, I try to visit all the resorts often, you know, we got to know what we're talking about.
I know then, exactly what you're talking about. Yes. I've not stayed in a room, but I have visited and it did get a nice facelift. So yes. At least from the outside. So looking Definitely. Forward to hearing what you think of the inside.
Yes. And then restaurant wise, probably Tuta Italia. I haven't been there in a long time. So I like forcing myself to do these things. You know, I'm a creature of habit, like so many people, and we have our places that we love.
Yep.
You know, and like every meal counts. Life is short. So I want to go to the places and see the people that I love, but I am forcing myself to do a little something new.
All right. Well, that sounds like that'll make an exciting article or two.
Yes. Yes. I will share everything. Oh, another thing I'm doing, I haven't done in 10 years. Is the La Cava tequila tasting.
Oh, I hope you are staying at a hotel within stumbling distance. It's Water Dolphin or maybe just sleeping on a bench and in the mix.
So I'm going to make sure we eat like a big breakfast before doing it.
Big breakfast and you have someone there and make sure you don't climb the pyramid.
Oh,
you don't want to climb the Mexico pyramid. No. It never ends well.
That is never a good thing. And speaking of climbing, I don't know if you saw on social, some kid climbed the Skull Island,
the Reina Kong. Yeah. This is why we can't have nice things. You know, first they took away the 3D from us on that ride. Next, they're going to take away all the skulls.
Which is like a really cool part.
There's not going to be anything left. It's just going to be a stuffed monkey sitting in a corner. All right. Well, without any further ado, why don't we just jump right into the news in the queue? All right, for our first piece of news in the queue, we're starting out in Disneyland, where the transformation of Downtown Disney has continued with the announcement of a new steakhouse and barbecue eatery coming to replace Tortilla Joe's, along with some other updates for Downtown Disney.
Yes, this was an exciting little news leak. They kind of included a lot of stuff in there. Biggest ones is the new Mexican concepts that are helmed by that Michelin star chef are opening in May.
Yes.
So that's going to be kind of the first big new stuff that's going to be finalized and ready, which is exciting because I love Disneyland so much, but Downtown Disney like just doesn't do it for me. You know,
well,
We need
you
more.
You know, it's been a long time since it's just been a big wall of construction barriers mm-hmm. going basically from the Disneyland Hotel till basically to the Lego store. Right. And it's like the whole west side of the place has been really dead. So it's great to see all this new life and stuff and getting finally announcements. Well, let's start right up the top. Yep. The first date to know was yesterday, April 14th. That was the last day to visit Tortilla Joe's, which is the Mexican place that has been there since downtown Disney became downtown Disney, pretty much.
Right. You know what? And it's like, you know, Mexican food is so popular in Southern California. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's so many great restaurants. I did have a couple of good meals there, and I'm kind of picky yeah. when it comes to Mexican food. So I thought it was a good, you know, little standby. You could usually get a spot at the bar.
It was definitely overlooked because honestly, right. if you're in Mexico, if you're in Southern California, you either want like hole in the wall locals dive Mexican food, super authentic, or you want like, you know, super fancy Michelin star.
Fancy,
this was kind of middle of the road. You know, it was reliable. You got exactly what you ordered. It was a decent value for Disney.
It was
no one ever went home really talking about Tortilla Joe's. Right. You know, there was no cult following for Tortilla.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, and it's just where it's located, unfortunately. Yeah.
So that is going to become two eateries. Now, Tortilla Joe's had the restaurant, the table service that took up most of the building, and then it also had a quick service off to the side. So we're going to be getting a steakhouse, which I'm guessing the steakhouse is going to be the restaurant, and the barbecue will be the quick service. But we don't have anything more specific than those two generic genres.
Yes, I am happy with the genres just as is because mm-hmm. we don't really have anything like that yeah. there. And it's so hard to get into Disneyland hotel restaurants, especially mm-hmm. for dinner service. So to have something a little different, a steakhouse, quick service barbecue, this is good news and just kind of rounds out.
And, you know, speaking of Disneyland hotels, we lost the Steakhouse 55 yep. That used to be in Disneyland Hotel. And the property's pretty much been without a real steakhouse since then. So I think it would be great if they tried to resurrect Steakhouse 55, but I don't see that happening.
You can go to Tony Roma's or.
Right. I mean, if it is going to be a chain, like they have an STK at Disney Springs, right? So maybe
yeah.
they.
And there's one in Beverly Hills. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's another brand, but, that we do not have an opening date, or operator yet for those. Some other updates, as we go through downtown Disney, Marceline's, the candy store, is going to be expanded and completely reimagined, without any more details of what that, involves, for the time being, we're going to get a cart with some select candy items outside of it. And the Disney dress shop, the poor Disney dress shop, I feel like it's had to move more than once for construction.
And that is such a good store. Oh my God. Yeah.
So Disney dress shop is going to temporarily go into Wonderground. Wonderground is going to temporarily go into Disney home. I hope all that is unwound because I really like Wonderground Gallery.
Yeah.
They already got kicked out of their space once during construction. So be fair to them.
We need it. That's where the Disney artists meet. So
right, exactly. They do lots of great signings there. And, you know, if you can't afford one of the big frame prints, they do have postcards and things that you can afford to take home. So I really like that shop. I hope that comes back. But I am excited to see Marceline, to see how it differentiates itself from the candy stores that are inside the two parks. They get something unique.
Right.
Anyway, as you said, the big news is we've got an opening month sometime in May, coming real soon. That will be the debut of Paseo, Centrico, and Tendita, which are the replacements for Catal, Uva, and Sprinkles Cupcakes. And these new restaurants are coming from Michelin star chef Carlos Gaitan. I believe the first Mexican Michelin star chef.
This is exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to these.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I kind of liked Catal and Uwe. For one, they were both great people watching places.
I mean, the circle bar at Uwe is like was the best, you know. Yeah. Like, weather's nice, sit outside, watch people go by.
And it does look like that element of it is going to be retained. We've got some concept art of the new restaurants. There's this really lovely wooden spiral staircase that's going to bring you up to the second floor. And they've really opened up the second floor of what used to be Catal, is now Paseo. Much more airy and exposed with the balcony looking out over downtown Disney. I think that looks really nice. Yeah. They've also got a very nice circular bar. It looks downstairs. I'm sure is going to be fun. That is Centrico. That's the circular bar that used to be called Uwe. And Uwe had great street fries. I don't think those are going to be back, but it does look like they're going to have
corn.
They are going to have street corn and an Oaxacan food similar to pizza.
Hey, I'll try it. Sounds good.
I'm looking forward to giving them all a shot. Also, the quick service that is there is looks like I've read that it's going to be a self-service. Like you're going to use a like a touchpad to order and then pick up from a window. So no human cashiers, it looks like. So that's kind of interesting. And then the next big restaurant to open, you might want to start lining up now. Din Tai Fung is opening sometime in the summer. And this one is they come from Taiwan, but they serve Shanghai style soup dumplings. Mm. And they're famous for not taking reservations and having long, long lines of people.
But
food looks like it's going to be worth the wait.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those places that is super hyped, but is actually worth it. Soup dumplings are chef's kiss. So this is going to be tough to get into.
Absolutely. A pro tip, do not pop an entire soup dumpling into your mouth because just like poke a hole in it and suck the soup out. And
yes. There's a whole like tutorial to it because you got to put it on the spoon.
Yep.
I've watched people like put it on a plate and cut it open. I'm like, you're
missing the point. Yeah. We've got a whole handy dandy chart of the transformation of Downtown Disney. This and all of the other locations that have transformed recently or coming up through this summer. There's some more things happening that we don't have firm dates on yet. Porto's Bakery Cafe is coming. Mm-hmm. The Parkside Market is coming. An Earl of Sandwich is coming eventually. So still lots of good things to come to Downtown Disney. And it looks like just as they're going to finish this up, they'll start talking about the Disneyland Forward project because they just had community meetings this week. It sounds like it went pretty well, and I'd be very surprised if it gets voted down. My guess is that this is going to get approved, and we're going to see a lot more development around Downtown Disney in the coming years.
Exciting stuff.
Yep. Now for something Disney that's going to be little more controversial or maybe not happy. Disney has made or announced changes they are implementing with the DAS system. That's the Disability Assistance System at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. I think it's going to make some people very happy. It's going to make some people very upset. This is a controversial topic, so buckle up, because we're just going to deliver the facts first. At both resorts, they are going to be changing the way guests sign up for DAS, which is the Disability Access System. Previously, you would go to the parks in person and talk to a cast member. Now they are going to be using a online video chat system almost exclusively. They're really pushing you to do this in advance, up to 30 days in advance of your visit.
But you can do it the day of if you forget, you know,
Correct. You can do it the day of, but they are definitely pushing people to do this in advance before you arrive. And instead of just talking to a cast member, you may be speaking instead to someone, a health professional from Inspire Health Alliance, which is a group that is teamed up with Disney on this. Note, this is not the IBCCESSS.
Yeah, I get it wrong all the time.
There's too many S's and C's. This is not the same organization used by Six Flags and Universal and several other theme parks. This is a different organization, but serving a similar function. You will not have to give doctor's records or medical records, but you will need to discuss your needs with them. And those needs are pretty much going to have to be related to autism or a similar cognitive or developmental disorder.
Completely removed physical disabilities.
Yeah. So previously, Disability Access Service, or DAS, was available to both folks with autism or cognitive disabilities, but also other invisible or non-apparent disabilities that made it difficult for them to stand in a conventional queue. So that could be things like chronic pain and fatigue,
IBS,
neuromuscular things that mean that you can't stand still. Or
right. And I think it's important to note what actually a lot of people don't realize: this system was never for mobility issues.
Yeah, it was never intended for mobility issues. Any issue, even before this change, any issue that can be resolved by renting a wheelchair, they would have always been supposed to just direct you to the wheelchair. The problem is your knees hurt and you can't stand up that long. The answer that they will always give for that is a wheelchair.
Yes. But also, I heard a lot of times people were getting DAS for mobility issues. Mm-hmm. But I think it goes back to, this is like, you're going up to a 21-year-old cast member that's not a medically trained professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's complicated. Yeah.
I agree 100%. Someone with family members who take advantage of DAS, I don't mean that in a negative way, who are eligible and right. use it in the past. There's, I think that there has absolutely been people who have taken advantage in the wrong way of this system, who maybe have abused or exploited the system. And there are people who are absolutely very clearly the people who was intended for. I do think that there is a gray area, a middle ground, of people who did benefit from the system for disabilities that are not necessarily mobility or maybe related to mobility, but that renting a wheelchair makes things worse. There are people who have, back problems or chronic pain problems that telling them to sit in a wheelchair all day actually is worse for them. And that they're not looking to cut the line. They're not looking to, have better access than everyone else. They just want, if everyone else is waiting an hour, they want to wait an hour. They just want to be able to, be able to stand or move or walk around in a different area and not be crammed in a claustrophobic corridor, switchbacking with a billion different other people. Right. So those people are pretty much out of luck now. They've made it clear that that is not what this service is for anymore. And that unless you have clear, autism or something similar, that this is no longer for you.
Right. But again, like you said, gray area. I mean, this entire thing is a gray area. Yeah. There's no documentation. So when you do this call, you're not like, I have autism. Here's a doctor's note.
Correct.
Which is like universal system, you have to have like medical documentation. Mm-hmm. So
ultimately is going to come down to a judgment call and you trying to convince them. Now, let's talk about some of the details for these changes beyond the qualifications getting a lot tighter. Here's a good thing. It used to be you'd have to get this renewed every 60 days. If you're an annual pass holder, that was could be annoying. Now that's going to be 120 days. So that's great. However, if you're used to, let's say, your parents with three children, You are out of luck now because a maximum family group is now 4 people. So the person who qualifies for DAS can only take 3 people with them now. It used to be up to 6. All these changes that we're talking about are going into effect in Disney World on May 20th and on June 18th at Disneyland. Slight difference between Disney World and Disneyland. At Disneyland, they will have actual human beings in a booth out in the Esplanade. They're taking over some of the old ticket booths. So if you don't want to use the advanced video call service, you do have another option to talk to a human being in person. You don't have that option in Disney World.
That surprised me. I feel like Disney World is where you're going to want to have an in-person representative, or maybe it's where they don't even want to go there, you know?
Maybe they're protecting their guests, or protecting their employees, I'm sorry, from the guests, because they know that people are going to be abusive, especially at Disney World.
Exactly. It's the clientele at Disney World. I see it being a problem.
At Disney World, if you arrive on the day, they are going to just say, pull out your phone and do a video chat. I guess guest services will probably have a iPad available if you don't have a digital device, but they will still be sending you to the virtual video chat service. Once you qualify for DAS, as far as we can tell, it's going to work the same as it did before. They are going to be pushing everyone to do it through the app to request your return times for attractions. Although it still looks like they're still going to have those guest experience umbrellas at strategic points around the park that can help people out. They have said that they're going to be training a lot more cast members on DAS and accessibility.
That's good because those lines get very long at the blue umbrellas.
Yes. See what other information do we have? The other big thing that you should know is that they've always kind of had this in the fine print, but they've now put this in the bold print. If you lie to them in order to get DAS and they find out that you are lying, you will go directly to Disney jail. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. You will lose your ticket. You will lose your annual pass, and you will be permanently barred from both Walt Disney World and Disneyland with no refunds and not even a sticker. They won't even give you a Mickey sticker on your way out. You are done. You are 86. Yeah. You are bounced. Yes. They will treat you like you swam to Discovery Island.
Right. Oh gosh. This is again like gray. It's like I wish there was even a word for heightened above gray area. Because again, you don't need medical documentation.
Yeah.
Many people don't even have access to healthcare to diagnose them. So I don't, you know, I mean, I guess if you're straight up lying, I don't know how they would find out. I mean, don't lie, because I feel like the karma surrounding that is going to be really bad.
Yes. Well, we will wait until the first lawsuit when an annual pass holder has their annual pass revoked, based on if they determine that the statements made in the process of attaining a DAS are not true. I don't know if that, maybe they're going to have lie detectors. Exactly. Because if you are not submitting any legal paperwork, and then they can, I guess Disney has the right to revoke any pass at any time for any reason.
That is very true.
We will wait the first lawsuit and talk about it on this podcast. I'm sure.
Yes.
So
yes, please read about it if you are going, because it is confusing, as is a lot of things when planning. So
why is this all happening? So the statement that Disney gave to media outlets is that usage or demand for the DAS system has more than tripled in the last few years. And I've heard estimates that it might be as high as five times as much as it was before the pandemic. You know, there's a lot of it's maybe our population is sicker. Maybe people have less tolerance for waiting in lines. And maybe back in the day, people would be using the free fast pass. But now that you have to charge for Genie Plus, they're asking for DAS. Maybe it's a combination of all of those things.
Yeah.
I would love to know what the ratio in any given time in the Lightning Lane of paid Genie Plus people versus DAS people.
I would love to know that. Yeah.
Because I mean, in the past, you know, Disney executives have estimated that up to 50% of people are buying Genie Plus. Now I don't know if that number is still true or accurate. But if it was, then how many DAS people do there have to be to make a dent in that if 50% of the people are already guiding Lightning Lane? So
it's really interesting regardless.
What I'm really curious to do is to you know, check the wait times for attractions starting you know, when this goes into effect on May 20th, and see if there is a drastic change in the throughput of the Lightning Lanes, and then how that affects standby wait times.
Yes. And I don't think we mentioned, if you currently have DAS, you will have to reapply.
Absolutely.
So it's going to end.
Yeah. Anything that you have disappears in Disney World at the end of the day on May 19th, I guess. And June 18th is the start date in Disneyland. So if you are an annual pass holder or a Magic Key holder, you know, I don't know when they are, I guess 30 days before your trip. So 30 days before May 20th, in theory, you should be able to call and use the video conference call. So you can do that in advance of this going into effect, because the video calls had been available up until now. They just were not mandatory previously.
Correct.
Oh, and I should mention one other tiny change. Previously, if you did one of those video calls and as an incentive, they'd pre-book two return times for you. That is no longer being offered by default. There might be certain cases where that's still available, but do not expect that anymore with a video call.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard thing is there's no correct answer for this because it's so gray. I keep saying gray area, but really that's what it is. And
yeah,
it's really kind of relying on people to be, you know, honest and forthcoming, but it's also definitely going to make it more challenging for people that legitimately need DAS, maybe have it now and won't qualify for it. I don't know. Again, there's no right answer. It's just such a complicated situation.
Yeah. I mean, my flippant answer is the way you solve this is that you get rid of both Lightning Lane and standby for everyone. And everyone has DAS. Everyone has a return time. And you manage that well enough so that people aren't waiting in line. No one waits in line more than 15 minutes. But then again, I think Universal tried that with Tapu Tapu at Volcano Bay and didn't turn out exactly how they hoped. So, you know, that day, I don't think it's going to come any day soon. But that wouldn't be my dream that everyone could just have. Because honestly, when you've been to the parks with someone who qualifies for DAS, it really does make the whole day so much less stressful for the whole party.
Right.
And I kind of wish everyone could have that experience. Like it shouldn't be like these people have to suffer standing 100 minutes in a line just so that we can have a good experience. There should be a way.
We did have that experience.
We had fast pass. Yes. Well, in that case, maybe, you know, maybe the answer is that, you know, Fast Pass or and Genie Plus and DAS, the big difference with their return times is Fast Pass, if it's a busy day, those return times can be pushed off for 6-8 hours in the future. Whereas with DAS, your return time is always less, you know, than whatever the posted wait time is. So maybe we keep that system only for DAS return what was Genie Plus back to the old free Fast Pass system. Maybe that would alleviate some of the pressure. But I don't expect them to give up their Genie Plus dollars anytime soon.
No, I think it's, you know, too much has been invested. And, you know, what kind of I've been following on socials, it's been interesting to see everyone's reactions and the general consensus, what people think, not necessarily what I think, is they're like, Genie Plus is fundamentally broken. So that is why people are using DAS. And that's kind of the general sentiment.
Yes. What Genie Plus has done to the standby wait time patterns is pushing people towards DAS who maybe didn't need it 100%. So, well, we could probably keep talking about this for the whole rest of the
really fascinating, even like you were talking about number wise, like percentage breakdown. I mean, this is stuff we all want to know. We probably will never know that.
I would love to see some numbers though. All right, let's move along to something a little happier and a little more universal. Keeping the announcements coming hot and heavy, they have dumped new concept art, including restaurant names, for Stella Nova and Terra Luna. Those are the two new prime value hotels that are going to be opening up right outside of Epic Universe in early 2025.
Very exciting. I am a big Universal Hotel girl in general, but I love Endless Summer properties. You get, I feel like, such a good value. You know, if you spend the same amount in the Orlando area, you're in like a motel. You know, these are resorts, which is what I love. It usually don't get a resort feel with the value. And so now we are getting two new resorts that offer that kind of all-encompassing vacation feel to your hotel.
You know, I also really like the Endless Summer resorts, especially for their price point, because sometimes you get those at almost like $100 a night. These are one step above their tier for Endless Summer. It's what they call the prime value, and it's the same level that they put Cabana Bay on. And, you know, Cabana Bay's got a lazy river. It's got a water slide. I don't think we have pool amenities quite on that level here, but we do
the Endless Summer pools. These are legit pool complexes. Yeah. You know, it's not like a motel's little dingy pool. These are like pools, pool bar, palm trees, the whole works.
Absolutely. So we've got a great, if you want to take a look at what all this looks like, we've got a fly through video of the rendering posted on our website and our YouTube. And in case you want to mark your calendar, opening date for Stella Nova is January 21st, 2025. So you'll actually be able to stay at these hotels before the Epic Universe Park is open. So that should be interesting. See how many people want to stay in a hotel next to a theme park that's still under construction.
Hey, I do, because number one, the price point is good. And number two, the theming is really good.
Yeah. Well, as speaking to price point, the rate that they are quoting for this is just under $150 per night if you stay for four nights. Universal has a thing where you stay a certain number of nights and you get a percentage off. So I would estimate based on that, that the nightly rate, if you just stay a single night, is probably going to be in the 175 or so range. Which is still really good for a hotel that is right on the doorstep.
And brand new. You know, you're not staying in this 30-year-old hotel that's had like cosmetic changes. Like, this is brand new. And even with taxes and, you know, if you pay for parking, low 200s, that's great for what you get.
Absolutely. So it's what you are getting in terms of amenities. Each hotel is got very similar amenities with a very slightly different style. Stella Nova is based on the vast expanse of the universe. And so they've got things like the Cosmo Cafe and Market, which is their quick service restaurant. They've got a Galaxy Bar and Grill at the poolside, and they've got a Nova Bar in the lobby. And then when you hop over to Terra Luna, and that's going to open about a month later on February 25th of next year, that one's themed to a landing zone in an awe-inspiring solar system. So this is like more land-based. There's more greens and golds. But their facilities are basically a mirror image. Like they've got a quick service cafe and market called the Omega Cafe and Market. They've got the Moonrise Bar and Grill, and they've got the Luna Bar in the lobby.
Yes. So, and unlike the Endless Summers, which are two different sizes, these are literally exactly the same. So both offer 750 guest rooms.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So meters, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. They're you know, very slight tweaks in the aesthetics, but other than that, like you know, pick whichever one is available. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. You know, some people have very strong opinions on which of the two Endless Summers they like better.
But I'm a doctor. Like these... Yeah.
I like the smaller property myself.
Yeah. Of interesting note, so if you have ever stayed in the family suites at Endless Summers, I love that because they have a full separate bedroom with a door that closes, which you often don't get in family suites. They will not have those rooms at this. These are all
just standard. Standard double guest rooms. Yeah. We've got to look at them. They've got two queens. You know, they got all your basic amenities, and they have these kind of circular porthole shaped windows, kind of like you're maybe on a Galactic Star Cruiser. But they're not digital screens like the failed Disney hotel. They're actual windows that you can look at on. But from the outside, everything is covered in these colorful reflective tiles. I think it's going to give this a very distinctive look. They're kind of like going to shift and shimmer as you go past. Other things that we know about these new hotels, they're all going to have, like you said, a pool complex that's going to include a hot tub. They've all got fitness rooms, they've got arcades, they've all got gift shops, and you're going to get all of the standard bonuses that you get with the current Lowe's hotels. These are Lowe's hotels like all the others. There's a bus that's going to run direct from Universal to the theme parks. And what I'm curious about is if the dedicated lane down Kirkman Road, which is going to be the ultimate connector for the electrical bus fleet that they are building, if that's going to be ready by January, or if they're going to have to use an alternate route for the first few months. Because I know that road project is scheduled to be open by spring of 2025. I don't know if it's going to be done by January. So.
Yes, but regardless, you are very close. You know, it's not like going from like Animal Kingdom Lodge to Magic Kingdom, which takes
like,
you're super close.
Yeah, I would expect that it's barely 5 minutes to get from Endless Summer to the main campus, and I would say that this would probably be like 10 or 12 minutes, probably.
Oh yeah, and I will say I really have no patience, like, which is funny because I love theme parks so much, but I truly have no patience. The Endless Summer bus, I've probably stated that maybe like a dozen times over the last couple of years. I have never gone outside to get a bus and there wasn't a bus.
There's always a bus waiting. Always. As soon as one comes, another one.
And there's usually like two backed up, and I do not know how they do it, but it is so impressive. You know, at Disney, I'll take like Ubers and Lyfts because again, I don't have patience. Endless Summer, I mean, their fleet is so impressive. So I have zero qualms about the bus system at these new properties.
Depending on where you're staying at Endless Summer, it takes a lot longer to get from your room to the bus stop than it does to get from the bus stop to the park, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in case you were wondering, put in your Google Maps 4500 Epic Boulevard to see where Stella Nova is going, or 5500 Epic to see exactly where Terra Luna is going. And I don't know. I think maybe it'll be worth... maybe we should do a broadcast from the new hotel before. These, of course, are not going to be the only or the fanciest hotels when Epic Universe opens connected to Celestial Park. The Central Plaza is going to be the Universal Helios Grand Hotel, which is going to be fancy.
Yes, which means express passes.
Well, hopefully. Maybe. I mean, you know, there's a lot of debate whether, first of all, if Epic Universe is going to have Express when it opens, or and if it does, how that Express will be sold. Will it be a la carte? You know, I'll be real surprised if everyone staying at Helios Grand gets unlimited Express passes to Epic Universe attractions from day one. Because that sounds like a recipe for disaster to me. Exactly. Now, I can imagine them getting Express passes to Islands Adventure and Studios, because they're going to have to do something to incentivize people to still go to the original parks after Epic Universe opens.
Right.
But I'll bet a dollar that there is not free unlimited Universal Express at Epic Universe for hotel guests on day one of the park.
Yes.
That's my gut. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious all around with ticketing. You know, I just renewed my Universal annual, and it was, they're still running that 3 months.
I need to do that. My is not due for you yet.
Like 6 months.
I have a feeling that can't last much longer.
No, I think it's like going to be ending soon. I think with the timing wise, maybe they wanted us to have our dates almost to like when we have to renew for Epic Universe. I don't know. I've been thinking about it, but it'll be interesting to see.
Well, you can actually book a room at Stella Nova or Terra Luna right now, and you can reach out to MEI Travel for a free no obligation quote that will get you there.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm so excited. It's going to be epic.
All right. Two more stories for our news in the queue. The first is a sad one. The Evermore theme park is no more. They have permanently closed in Pleasant Grove, Utah, outside of Salt Lake City. They opened in 2018, and I feel like the story of this is kind of similar to the story of Galactic Star Cruiser on a smaller scale, maybe. This was a theme park experience that was built around a large number of live performers and a lot of interaction. This was not the kind of place where you just went and sat on rides, although it did have a train ride around the park. But it was basically like a live action role-playing game, like live action Dungeons and Dragons or Lord of the Rings, except its own storyline, its own IP, its own characters. And it took a place on this 12-acre environment that was highly themed. And it was a labor of love, I know, for the people who put it on. It was developed by people from The Void, from Disney Imagineering, special effects makeup artists, and they put a lot of work into it. But it, as the property owner that leased the land said, it was not a good business model.
Yeah, it's making me concerned. So in the last few years, we're hearing all about theme park developments that are in different regions, not on the coast, center of America. They're mostly micro parks, so small footprint. And that's exciting. But, you know, these projects, and none of them have really gotten off the ground yet. I'm sure Peppa Pig is going to be wildly successful, the Universal Texas, but, you know, like American Heartland, we're still kind of waiting on those details. And then I don't know if you saw it, Kathmandu, the micro park in
Puncak closed already.
They closed. And that was like a year. I went to the opening a year ago. It's really hard. I mean, it's hard to compete with these big parks. And as much as I want these little things to work out, there's certain things that go against it, like location, you know? It's interesting.
Location was definitely a tricky one for this. The fact that they did not have any kind of IP that was recognizable to the general public. and the thing that I think, you know, most, you know, compares it to Galactic Star Cruiser is, this is something that required a lot of buy-in from participants. Like you had to want to dress up and get into character and really immerse yourself. This was not for casuals. This was, you know, something that was like a deep dive into this world and required a lot of, you know, talented performers in order to carry off the illusion. And those kind of, you know, performers want to get paid. And when you have something that requires, you know, maybe you have in a family of one person who is really into this thing, you have to also make it accessible to their spouse and their kids or whoever else is tagging along. Otherwise, you're not going to get that whole family coming through the gate. And it's a shame. I wish I had gotten to see it myself because I think it looks really cool. Maybe, you know, the owner of the property says that they've got a well-capitalized group that is coming in to, they're not going to demolish it. They're going to keep the current structures intact and make new improvements. So who knows what it might turn into.
Yes.
It's a shame, though, that I would have loved to see that in its glory. All right. And finally, we're going to wrap up the news in the queue on the high seas, where MSC has unveiled a brand new thrill ride that is going to be launching on the new MSC World America cruise ship. It is a giant swing ride called Cliffhanger that is going to send guests swinging 160 feet out above the ocean.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll give this one a try. You know,
what? I did the Icon of the Sea where I swung out on the side, and I hyped it up in my mind that it'd be really scary, and it wasn't at all.
Wasn't that bad?
It was fine. Yeah, I did it twice. I was like, I can do this again. I will do this because it is cool to just say you're hanging over the side of a cruise ship.
Yeah. So it's an interesting mix between like gentle, old timey, scenic, and you know, scary, high in the sky thrill ride. It's just a leisurely afternoon swing on your front porch if your front porch happens to be on the top deck of a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So there's a video that they've posted that is actually kind of makes it look even more disturbing because of the CGI animation and the scary drums in the background. Let's see. I'm going to mute it because you really don't want to hear it. But it shows you a little CGI rendering of what this is going to look like. And yeah, it's basically a giant big red swing that a couple people will be strapped into and swing you out over the ocean for a leisurely little ride.
You're going to have like a champagne package where it comes with a bottle of bubbly. You could sit there. It's like romantic.
It actually,
it doesn't look bad.
No, honestly, it's way less intense than what they put on the MSC Seascape, which was the Robotron Kuka Roba arm.
Oh yeah,
that would basically spin you around like you're in a washing machine on spin dry. that one, you know, they put that one on the Seascape, but they didn't put that on any of the other sister ships. So I'm imagining that putting a Kuka Roba arm out exposed to salt water is maybe not the best for reliability.
Right.
That was my guess. But if you would like to know more about MSC cruises, I took a trip on the seashore not too long ago, and I wrote up a really detailed report. We've got a link to that on our website. So check that out and then hit up MEI Travel to get booked on a cruise. This New World America ship is launching next year, and I'm hoping that I'll get to take a ride on this swing when it does. All right, that is going to wrap up our news in the queue. Before we get into this week's main attraction, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors.
The Attractions Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Whether your next vacation is a magical trip to the theme parks, an exciting adventure to the pyramids of Egypt, or just a relaxing cruise on the turquoise waters of the Bahamas, MEI Travel provides premium service and expert advice to help you get the most of your vacation. They are always free of any hidden fees or costs to you. Visit them at mei-travel.com.
It's time for the main attraction!
And for this week's main attraction, a Disney theme park is changing its name. And I have thoughts about that name.
Yes, this... I did not expect this news.
I did not have this one on my bingo card. I actually have been hearing rumors that the Walt Disney Studios Park at Disneyland Paris would be changing its name to go along with the launch of its new expansion. But I thought it would be a name that had some reference to movies or, you know,
Cinemagic.
Hollywood, Cinemagic. I like that. Nope. Welcome, folks, to Disney Adventure World at Disneyland Paris.
Is that like Walt Disney World?
The most generically named Disney park ever. Disney Adventure World.
But you, which I guess can the details, just... you'll understand why it's so ambiguous because...
Ambiguous, yes.
you'll understand once we hear. I mean, it leaves a lot of room for whatever they want to
Oh, make. So much room. So much wiggle room. So we've known that a Frozen Land, basically a copy of the World of Frozen that they have in Hong Kong, but just scaled out a little.
And surprise, it's all the same thing.
Yeah. Coming to the former, soon-to-be former Walt Disney Studios Park, along with a new central corridor and a Tangled teacups ride, and another land that may not be what it was originally announced to be. But now they have announced as of April 12th, which was the 32nd anniversary of the park, they have announced a complete name change, new identity, and basically a whole new concept, a theme for the park. So basically, Disney Studios Paris was always kind of like a cheap knockoff of Disney MGM Studios. And they both started with the same concept of you're going behind the scenes and seeing how the movies are made, which was a convenient way to explain why they only built the front of anything. And everything was like a fake facade, and you would see the scaffolding, and you would always see the props and the lights and the, you know, everything was always unfinished. And that was great because it meant that they only had to put money into one side of anything. And then they could just use the excuse that, oh, you're on a movie set. That's what it would look like on a movie set. Well, honestly, today, most movie sets are either a green screen or a big LED wall. and they don't do things quite like that anymore. And they have, as they put it, evolved away from how it's done sound stages and instead celebrating the adventures that come to life in immersive ways. So,
so you're in the story now. Yeah. You're living the adventure.
So it is no longer about the movie making process. It is simply about going into the stories that we see in the movies. So the biggest change that is going to reflect that is the big Studio One building that you enter when you come into the park. And let's see, do we have... here is the concept art we have of Studio One. And this was always kind of like an indoor version of the Hollywood Boulevard that we have at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
It is like one of my favorite places ever in a theme park. It is, well, it was because it closed on Friday. It is like neon, and you know, you got that Schwab's Pharmacy, you have like a tiki thing. It is just like the trippiest fever dream of a theme park experience.
But it was, it to clarify, because that the way you described it makes it sound really cool.
It is cool, I thought.
But it was like, it wasn't like the Hollywood Boulevard that we have in at the studios here in Orlando, where it is kind of realistic and detailed. This was all fake. Like it reminded me of like the if you for the six people who wrote it, the Superstar Limo ride it was a California Adventure, or you know, or even more like the Hollywood Boulevard and Hollywoodland at Disney California Adventure with like schmoozies.
Cheesy is the right word.
Cheesy and obviously artificial. And it looks like what they're trying to do is, instead of being like, see, you are in a fake place, they want to actually make Studio One look like you really are outside at a Hollywood premiere, and give it a much more natural, realistic look instead of this exaggerated cartoonish look.
Yes. So now when you go through the turnstiles there, you'll be walking almost, it will look like Hollywood studios.
Right.
You're walking, and you're walking to your movie premiere. So it's going to be like a red carpet that goes. Then when you go inside, so this is all outside, which before there was really nothing outside. Like it was just an open courtyard, essentially. You know, you walk through the arch. Now you go inside and it's an homage to Hollywood theater. So like a lot of like black and white. I'm thinking like Great Movie Ride, the way you kind of walk through, and there was like, you know, memorabilia, and that's kind of what it seems. I don't think
images
of the inside yet.
Okay. So maybe I'm outside. Misinterpreting. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was under the impression that this is because the interior of the Studio One building, because there is no big mountain off in the distance.
Yeah. So this is Paris the artwork. There. The only reason I know this is because I read a 5-page press release that I spent 4 hours reading to write the story for Friday.
I obviously just skimmed that and didn't.
I know way too much about this all new visual identity, but yeah.
Because so I do know that outside of Studio One, we do have the what they're calling World Premiere Plaza, which is sort of what you're going to exit out into.
Yes. So that's like where you'd exit into like the main area of the park. So now you're entering.
I guess I must have been misinterpreting, because I'm looking at this and I'm seeing that this is a fake nighttime, but then you see it as daytime outside the building.
I mean, it is very confusing because they threw a lot of information on us, and it's really kind of, you know, but the main thing is this is the first thing that's going to be the big change to our new visual identity. Like they're already starting on this now. It closed. They had a big going away party. And then next spring, it will open as this new concept of you're going to a Hollywood premiere.
All right. Well, in addition to that, we've also got this Alice in Wonderland, Queen of Hearts Back to Wonderland show debuting on May 25th that we've talked about before. This is acrobats, BMX, rock and roll, pop, showdown, audience participation, Michigas. So that opens up in May, and they've been going around and refreshing all of the hotels at Disneyland Paris. Well, Disney Davy Crockett Ranch is next in line. And it looks like Davy Crockett's still going to be there in name only, but Donald Duck and the Junior Woodchucks are going to be bringing their theming to that
so
hotel.
It's gonna be Disney-fied. And then I think the other thing that I had to laugh at when I was reading it, they used the line something like bringing a more modern hotel experience to guests. Mm-hmm. What I translate that as, they're going to add air conditioning. So you have to remember, they don't say that, but that's what like Disneyland Paris, some of the hotels don't have modern central air conditioning.
Right.
They just had fans, which is like a lot of hotels still in Paris. So when I read modern experience for guests, I'm like, that has to be, they're adding some sort of central air to this property.
That absolutely makes sense. Disney Village is going to be updating with a new lifestyle shop and some changes to the Lego store. And as we mentioned at the top, this is all going to be leading up to the debut of World of Frozen, which is coming to Paris. If you want to get a preview of that, check out my videos from Frozen Ever After in Hong Kong Disneyland. We've got POVs of the ride, which is a very upgraded version of the Epcot version. And also a walkthrough of the whole land with the Imagineers. I think they're basically getting Paris everything that you'll see in the Imagineer tour minus the roller coaster.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Back to the name. So basically, this expansion is going to double its footprint. So the whole thing is around this thing they're calling a body of water called Majestic Bay.
Yes.
And it will be, it's so funny because it sounds like very Epic Universe. It will be your portal to different lands.
Like,
the World of Frozen. There's another land they said is in the final concept stage with Imagineering. So that is why we have such a, just a name that can really, they can do anything with it,
Yes. So they can drop in any franchise that they want. Now, originally, we had been promised Star Wars. But that seems to have been airbrushed out of the most recent concept art. So I would not count on Star Wars coming here. It looks like they've moved on from that idea.
Yes.
If they are going to do more Star Wars, it would go somewhere else.
Right. I mean, we don't need a third Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
You know.
It does look like if you are an Avengers fan, they are bringing a new Avengers nighttime show to the campus by the end of this year. That's going to run through next spring. Not going to be the same show as the drone show that they've previously had, but it's going to be a new activation is what they call it. So that might be a little smaller than the whole full scale show, but it is supposed to have projections and characters in it. Keep an eye out for that. All right. Well, as we work on the puzzle of what exactly this whole makeover is, we will be sure to bring you updates. And if you want to see it all in person when it is completed, I'm sure MEI and Mouse Fan Travel can help you plan that bucket list trip to Paris. Just I say this every time. If you plan a trip to Paris, make sure you spend more time in Paris than Disney Paris, because Paris is really a lot more interesting.
Yes. But I think this is good news. I mean, this has always been the black sheep of the company.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate because the actions there are so good. Like Tower of Terror, Crush's Coaster. So good. So
I mean, it's uniformly, I think, bike fans acknowledged as the weakest full-scale Disney theme park in the world. For a while, they were like competing with Hong Kong, but Hong Kong's added enough stuff over the years that they've
exactly.
I will say that after the day I spent there, I swore that I had no reason to ever return to that park. Now this will give me a reason to go back.
I love Disneyland Paris. I don't know why. I think it's just
I love the Disneyland park.
But, no, I love this park too, though. I don't know why. I think it's just so kitschy and just it's such a like Michael Eisner throwback that I love it. I love their food festivals, but I get what they're doing and they do need to do something. So
well, they got rid of Cinemagique, so I really had no reason to go back. And I'm not looking forward to the Cars tram tour. But maybe that going away at some point with all this? I always thought that was just a temporary
thing. Yeah, that closed. So that's where
that's gone.
Construction. Yeah.
Good. Good.
You know what? I actually never got to go on it because it was always under refurbishment whenever I visited. So I never got to experience it. But it's okay. We're going to get new stuff.
You didn't miss much.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is going to just about wrap things up. But before we go, let's take a look at some of your comments. Let's see. Johanna Malik says that she's looking forward to hearing how we like the SSR renovations. The last time she stayed there reminded and smelled like a dorm. And she doesn't live too far from the real Saratoga, and so beautiful and historic. So hopefully the renovations do it justice.
I had the exact same experience last time. It was 2015, and I know several people. There was just this overwhelming like mildew dorm smell. I was too tired to change rooms. But I think hopefully, fingers crossed, it's better with the refurbishment. I don't know. I don't really like the theme of horses, so it's like it's a property I never really desire to stay at, but trying something new. So I'll keep you posted.
And Johanna also had a comment about DAS. They've had 2 organ transplants, 2 heart attacks, and take 20 different medications a day. Yes, you are one of those people who legitimately does not have autism, but uses DAS. I don't think anyone who would hear that would like argue with you, but it's going to make you think twice about going. I have other friends who are in similar situations who are, and honestly, like if you already have anxiety issues, being told that, we're going to cross-examine you, and if we decide that you're lying to us, we're going to revoke your pass and ban you for life. A lot of people are just like, nope, I'm not going through that. So, you know, maybe that's part of their goal, is to intimidate people out of even asking for help in the first place. But yeah, I feel for you. I absolutely hear you. I know there's a lot of people going to have some stress over this. So.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate because it does go into effect so soon. So
yeah.
I'm curious to hear if people have like maybe canceled or adjusted their trips based on this news. So, I mean, this is how it rolls out very soon.
Yeah. Well, before we go, we want to give one last thank you to our sponsors, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Please, we want to remind you, give us a rating, a review, like us and subscribe to us here on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to us. And be sure to follow us at attractionsmagazine.com. Search for Attractions Magazine on all your favorite social media platforms. Carly, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
Yes, I am on Instagram at Adventures by Carly, and I am on X at Carly Caramana.
And I am on all platforms at S. Kaburski, at The Unofficial Guides, and you can find my books at theunofficialguides.com. Until next week, we hope you folks stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. We will see you again next time. Bye.
Bye.